Our theme is called We Are at War, and we're going to be talking about this spiritual battle that we find ourselves in. Now, this is a little bit kind of a dark theme because we're talking about the devil and we're talking about spiritual warfare, but it's something very important. Last week at Dallin Road, we talked about being all in for Jesus, and there's a lot of correlations between the two, but this is a topic that you really need to pay attention to. Really want to encourage you guys to take notes. I'm going to have handouts for you for all of our sessions, okay? And so I want to encourage you guys to take notes. I know sometimes in the past you can take notes and then we can find the papers kind of scattered around in the building. If you can't, hold on to it. Put it in your Bible because you're going to need the information that we're going to be talking about tonight. So before we begin, since we're talking about a battle, since we're talking about a war, I want to play a game, okay? I like games, all right? I like to have fun. And when I was younger, I'm 38 years old, so that was actually it wasn't that long ago, but compared to you guys, a long time ago. When I was younger, I used to play this game, who would win? If you put a basketball player, maybe Magic Johnson versus Larry Bird, by the way, do you guys even know who those people are? All right, good. Magic Johnson versus Larry Bird, who would win? So we're going to play a game called, let's see if the clicker works here. Who would win, all right? I need everybody to stand up. Now, here's how this is going to work. We're going to move fast here. Brent, you may have to get out of the way so you don't get run over, okay? You know, don't run over, Brent. So here's what I'm going to do. There's going to be a number of slides, and there's two photos on the slides. You have to decide in a head-to-head battle, whether it's a person or a thing or whatever, who would win, who's the best, all right? Who's going to come out on top, okay? And so if the picture is on this side and you think that this side's going to win, you got to go over there, okay? Nobody can stay in the middle. You guys get it? Don't run over each other, but we got to move kind of fast. So you're either going to be going over here or you're going to be going over there. Now, you may have to go in between, maybe between each one, but don't hurt anybody. But I need you guys to move. You guys ready, okay? Everybody ready? All right. Who watched the NBA Finals? Who's in the NBA Finals? Give it to me. Golden State and the Cavaliers, all right? So Golden State won, all right? Now, you got to make a choice. Who would win? Here it is. You guys ready? Who would win? And you got to go to the side here. Let me see if the hold on a second. Golden State versus the Chicago Bulls of the 90s. Pick a side. Who would win? You got to go. Pick a side right now. Who's going to win? Where's your loyalty going to be? Some of you guys may not even know who Michael Jordan is, but you got to go. You can't be in the middle here. Don't be a follower either, okay? We play by both. So Golden State, there's no way Golden State's going to beat Chicago, the Chicago Bulls, right? Jeff, who's going to win, bud? All right, here we go. Who's going to win? Who would win? Thor versus Superman. Who's going to win? Who's going to win? Is everybody staying on the same side? You guys really think Superman's going to win? All right, everybody, all the girls are staying with Thor, okay. All right, there it is. So Thor is going to win. Actually, I think Thor would win also. All right, here we go. Here's the next one. Cherry pie versus apple pie. This is a really big deal for me. Cherry pie versus apple pie. Yes, apple pie, this is right. You can't be in the middle, bud. No, you can't be in the middle, bud. Everybody on this side is absolutely correct. All right, very good. Apple pie is going to win. All right, who would win next? Fruit Loops or Cocoa Puffs? Fruit Loops over there, Cocoa Puffs over there. Fruit Loops over here, Cocoa Puffs. So we got some Fruit Loops. All right, yes. All right. All right, who's going to win, Texans or the Cowboys? Where is your loyalty? Where is your loyalty? Who's going to win? Almost everybody here, wow, everybody here is from Houston. All right. So I got to be honest with you guys. I don't like either of these teams. They're both bad, okay? But you guys want the Texans. I'm a Colts fan, okay? So go Andrew Luck next year. What'd you say, bud? All right. Pay close attention. Are you ready? Who would win? Pause. A&M Oh, or Texas. Oh, we got one person. All right, so let's we got three. All right. All right, so a couple of things have happened. We got four. A couple of things have happened. Number one, should we allow these four people to stay here for the weekend? Should we grant them forgiveness or what? What do you think? All right. Number two, this slide did not look like this 30 minutes ago. I had Texas nice and big and A&M like this size. So there's somebody up there who's been messing around with my slide. All right. So I am outnumbered here. Okay, here's the last one here, all right? Now, you guys, some of these things here, some of you guys may say, all right, this is kind of cheesy. I like it, all right? I like cheese. Cheese sells pretty well. I like to have fun. Here's something I want you guys to really think about. Who would win? Who will win? God or the devil? Now, you got to pick a side. Now, I know this. Yeah, that's a good point. We could run the fence. This is a Bible class answer, right? When in doubt, say Jesus, right? Jesus is always the answer, right? Let me ask you, do you really believe that? Who's going to win? Do you really believe that God, that he's going to be victorious? And are you really on his side? Because when it comes to this battle that we're going to be talking about, we got to make a choice. There's nobody in the middle here, right? You can't be in the middle. No, they don't count. You can't be in the middle with this choice. Now, when you look at the world, it appears sometimes that who may be winning? It can appear that the devil may be winning, right? Atheism is on the rise. There's a lot of people who are not interested in Jesus. There's a lot of people who's not interested in the Lord. But you need to know, and we're going to talk a lot about this weekend, that our victory is found in Jesus Christ. And we are in a battle, and we are going to have to make a choice, a side, of whose side we're going to be on. There's a battle taking place right now for your soul. And who is going to be lead in your life? Who's going to lead you and whose will you are going to follow? And it could be that the devil may already be working right now trying to get some people not to even pay attention. This is going to be something very serious. Let's all sit back down the middle. I appreciate you guys playing along with this. And I want you to open up your Bible. I want you to see just how serious this really is. Open up your Bible to John chapter 8. Open up your Bible to John chapter 8. And why this is important is because while it's easy for us to say here in the auditorium, okay, I'm going to be on God's side, it can be very difficult when you go to school or when you're working, sometimes even when you go to camp, on whose side you're going to be on, who will win. And so I want you guys to fully understand that you guys are going to have to pick a side, and you're going to have to decide who you will follow. Now, the Bible is clear that God is in control, that our victory is going to be found in Jesus Christ. And the Bible is also clear, too, that you really do have to pick a side. Who are you going to follow? You are either following God. If you're not following God, then who are you following? The devil. There's only two options. Look at John chapter 8 and look at verse number 44. We find a conversation here with Jesus talking to some Jews here. And the language, we may feel pretty uncomfortable with this language. But it really is interesting how Jesus, what he said here in John chapter 8, and let's start in verse number 42. The Bible said, Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and have come from God, for I have not even come on my own initiative, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I am saying? It is because you cannot hear my word." Listen to what he said next. "You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies." Pretty powerful words, right? So Jesus was telling these individuals, your daddy is who? Your daddy is the devil. You are following Satan. Now, a lot of people are going to feel uncomfortable saying that to somebody else. Have you guys ever said that to somebody else? Your father is the devil? But that really is what is going on. We're in a spiritual battle, and we're either going to follow God or we're going to follow Satan. And we have to make a choice. I was in a Bible study with a gentleman a couple of years ago, a pretty big guy, and I got a little bit nervous because he really knew, he was studying and he knew some scriptures, but he just really didn't want to change. And so I went to this text, and I said, look, you're either following God or you're following the devil. And I said, are you following God right now? And he said, no, I'm not. So I said, well, who are you following ultimately? He didn't really want to say it, but Jesus makes it clear. You're either going to follow God or you're going to be following the devil, okay? So this is how serious this is. Turn over to the book of Acts. I want to show you another example here in Acts chapter 26. Paul, as he was rehearsing his conversion story here to some people in Acts chapter 26 and verses 17 and 18, he really makes this distinction of us either following the Lord or following the devil. In Acts chapter 26 and verse number 16, as he talked about what happened to him on the road to Damascus, he said, but get up and stand on your feet. For this purpose I have appeared to you, to appoint you a minister and a witness, not only to the things which you have seen, but also to the things in which I will appear to you, rescuing you from the Jewish people and from the Gentiles to whom I am sending you. Listen to this, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light. See the contrast there? Turn from darkness to light and from the dominion of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. And so there's a clear distinction that Paul was saying, listen, my job, my work was to help people to be delivered from the power of Satan and to be a part of God and his will and following his son. And so there is a distinction that you guys are going to have to make. And so we're going to talk about this. First, I want you guys to know, most importantly, that God is always going to be victorious. But you really have to believe that. And you're going to have your faith rooted in God and rooted in Jesus Christ, because we are at war. That's our theme, and that's what we're going to be talking about. Let me get a volunteer if I can. I have a couple of handouts that I want to give to you guys. Can I get a volunteer to pass these out? And it looks like there's some pencils here. I need two people. All right, just come on up. Everybody get one of these and make sure that everybody gets something to write with. There's some pencils and pens right there, okay? So we're going to talk about a couple of things here. And let me do one more thing. Kara or Katie Stevenson, I have brought you a gift. Are you in the house? Are you in the house? All right. I have brought you a cord. It looks like an iPad cord or something like that. You can have it back for $29.95. You got it? All right. I'll give it to you for free. All right. It's yours. All right. While you guys are getting that information there, I want to begin with a story. And I want you guys to really see that what we're going to talk about this weekend is really not a game. It really is something serious, okay? And it's a story about a young man that I met in Columbia, Missouri. My wife, Nikki, and I, we lived in Columbia, Missouri in 2006 to about 2009. And there was a young man, he was in college, I want to say maybe sophomore year in college, and his name was Bert. Bert was a Christian. And Bert attended services every Sunday. He was there for Bible class. He was there for Sunday morning worship. He was there for evening worship. He was there on Wednesday nights too, okay? Bert was very committed to the Lord. Bert got a girlfriend, and he taught her the gospel. We actually had studies at our place, over at our house, and we studied the Word of God, and Bert helped his girlfriend become converted. And so things were going great, but in the process of time, and I can't tell you exactly when it happened, but in the process of time, something changed with Bert and his faith. Bert stopped coming to Sunday morning worship. He would make Bible classes every once in a while, but for the most part, Bible class, Sunday morning worship, he stopped coming. We'd see him every once in a while for evening service. Then eventually, Bert stopped coming to Wednesday night Bible class. Bert and I used to talk quite a bit. We had him over at our house a lot. We studied and things like that. Bert stopped returning my phone calls. When the elders would call him to see how he was doing, to see if they could help him, Bert didn't return their calls. So about 3 months later, we finally got a hold of Bert. You know what happened to Bert? Well, he came over. And he said that he was going to leave the church. He was going to leave that local congregation, and he was going to go to a denominational church. And so we tried to talk to him about that, and we tried to study a little bit. And his mind was already made up. And he said, look, I know what you guys need to do, so if you guys need to, you know, withdraw or something like that, then go ahead. So we didn't really see Bert that much anymore. Every once in a while. Thank you, sir. So about a year later, I was on Facebook, as Brent said. I actually got off of Facebook last year. I kind of played the role of a hypocrite. I'm back on Facebook this year. But I was on Facebook, and I saw this long statement from Bert. And what Bert put down was that he no longer believed in God. He no longer believed in Jesus. No longer believed that you have a soul, that he has a soul, that when you die, when he dies, he's just gonna go to the dust of the earth. Bert professed his faith as an atheist. And he gave some explanations, which were obviously wrong. But it was just a very sad thing, to be honest, because I knew Bert, and we had him at our place, and we had our Bibles open, and we were studying, and he was worshiping, and he was attending a local church of Christ week after week, Wednesday after Wednesday. And then a couple of years later, he's gone. So what happened to him? How did this happen? Well, he was attacked. Nobody physically beat him up, though. But it was a spiritual attack. Does that make sense? It was a spiritual attack. It was an attack by the devil. And he was attacked with denominationalism, false teaching. He was attacked with atheism. His faith was slowly eroded over the course of time. And before you know it, he's no longer with the Lord. And I bring that story to your attention, not to scare you, but just to really show you that this is so important. That when we talk about the fact that we are in a battle, you really need to take this seriously. Because who is taking this seriously in the battle right now? Who do you think is taking this battle very seriously? Jesus is, but who else? God is, but who else? The devil, yeah. The devil is taking this battle very seriously. And if you don't, man, he's just smiling all the way. And so you need to take this seriously. Open up your Bible to Ephesians chapter 6. Here's why this is so serious. Because the Apostle Paul, in the first century, as he was writing to the church in Ephesus, he reminded them about this battle. They had been taught the gospel. Paul came across some disciples in Ephesus in Acts chapter 19. He would teach them the gospel of Jesus Christ, help them to understand some things more clearly. They had this interaction with an apostle, and yet he still needed to remind them that they were in a battle. And if they needed to be reminded, then you also need to be reminded too. And so this is what this weekend is going to be about. We're going to kind of lay down a foundation tonight about the fact that we are at war, that we are in a battle, and then tomorrow we're going to build upon this and talk about the frontline issues and where the battle is taking place and things like that. But for right now, I want you to see how serious this is. Look at verse number 10. Paul would say, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil." You see, the devil has his own game plan for you, the schemes of the devil. "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything to stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert, with all perseverance and petition for all the saints." And so what Paul did there, Paul reminded the people, listen, this is a big deal. And so I want you guys to understand that this is a big deal. So here's what I want to do. Everybody has a handout. I'm going to ask you guys to participate, to join in, take some notes, write down these passages that we're going to be talking about. I'm going to ask you guys to do a couple of things too. There are four questions that I want us to consider tonight, and then we'll wrap it up, and we'll pick all of this up tomorrow, okay? So tonight we're going to really lay down the foundation. And so the fact that we are at war, you're going to have to know some things about the battle. That's how we're going to be effective, and that's how we're going to be successful, knowing what we are up against, what you are up against. So let's talk about a couple of things, all right? We're going to start off with something easy, and yet something very important that you need to understand. We've already seen that we're not battling against flesh and blood, but this is a different kind of battle, okay? So the first question that I want you guys to think about, who are we fighting against? Now, we all know the answer to that, so let me just put it up on the slide, and then let me tell you why I put this here. We're all fighting against the devil. Now, somebody may be thinking, duh, thank you. I learned that years ago. We're fighting against the devil. But do you really believe that? Again, we can give the Bible class answer, but do you really believe? Do you really believe in the devil? There are some studies out there for people who profess to be Christians, and about 40% of people who profess to be Christians don't believe in the devil. Now, what is the problem with that? If you were talking to someone and they said, well, yeah, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, and you got into a conversation about this spiritual battle and the fact that the devil is out there and he's trying to attack us, and they said, well, I really don't believe in the devil, what would you say to that person? How would you respond? What would you say, bro? What do you believe in? All right, anyone else? Go ahead, Casey. Where do you think sin comes from? Okay, that's good. Anyone else? You want to say something, bud? Or how can you believe in God but not the devil? Yeah, that's a good point. That's something very important, because who do we read about in the Bible? Who do we read about in the Bible? We read about the devil. He's all over the place in the Bible. He's in the beginning, and Paul in Ephesians chapter 6 just talked about him. And so for us to say, well, yeah, I believe in Jesus, but I don't know about this whole thing with the devil. And maybe that's just some make-believe type of stuff. The devil already has you then. So you need to understand, number one, that the enemy, the one that you are fighting against, is the devil. And let me tell you why that's important too, because so many times, if not careful, we can lose track of where the battle really is and who the battle is really against. Now, there's a lot of battles taking place in the world, right? You turn on the news. I really don't watch the news because it's all depressing. But if you ever decide to watch the news, you're either going to hear about ISIS or Russia or something like that, okay? And these enemies against the United States and things like that. But the real enemy that we really need to be focused on is the devil, all right? Sometimes, as young people, you may think that the enemy, the biggest enemy in your life, is mom and dad. Mom and dad are not your enemy, all right? You may think maybe that someone here at the congregation, maybe one of the preachers or one of the elders with some of the things that are being taught, maybe they just don't like you because some of the things that they're teaching or trying to help you out with. No, they're not the enemy either. The real enemy is the devil. And the more you can understand that, the more you can really hold on to that, the better off you're going to be. So the Bible shows us that our enemy is the devil. And so we got to make sure that we're focusing on the one who is really out to destroy us. Here's what I want you guys to do. I want you, for just a moment here, to write down a couple of things. I want you to work with the person next to you. And I want to see, what do you know about the devil? I'm going to give you about a minute or so, or whenever this thing stops spinning, all right? And I'm going to ask you guys to do a couple of things. There are a lot of different terms that are used in the Bible to describe the devil. We just read that in Ephesians chapter 6. I want you to see, what other terms or names do we find that are used to describe the devil, the one that we are fighting against in this battle, okay? So you guys can talk amongst yourself. If you can write down a Bible passage, that would even be better, because we can learn a lot about our enemy just by looking at some of the ways that he is described in the Scripture. So take about a minute or so under that first question. I want you to identify as many different terms or names that are used to describe our enemy, okay? All right, go. And you can work with the person next to you. What do you know about this enemy of ours? Oh boy, starting to slow down already. I'm going to give it one more spin, okay? It's starting to slow. Is this annoying? Okay, good. It's kind of annoying, but that's right. All right, write down what you know. What terms, what names are used in the Scriptures to help us to understand more about our enemy? All right, let's see. What do you got? Someone, let's talk. Throw a couple of things out. What'd you guys come up with? Yes, sir. Cody? Is that right? The father of lies. Good. We just saw that. Go back to John chapter 8 really quick. Write down this passage. The father of lies. So think about that for a second. I believe that the devil's greatest tactic is the fact that he's a liar and the way that he is able to deceive us. And so your greatest strength, the biggest thing that you're going to have to hold onto is the truth. And that's why you're really going to have to be connected to God's word. So yeah, John chapter 8, very good. Verse 44, you are of your father the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer. There's another term there, so hopefully I didn't steal that from someone. From the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there's no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he's a liar and the father of lies. And so that's something important. You learn something about our enemy, right? And we see how cunning he can be with lies. So he's described as the devil, the father of lies. Someone else give me another description. Yes, sir. Like a roaring lion. Yes, turn over to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 8. I was waiting for that one there. Yeah. Imagine if you saw an animal like this running around your neighborhood. You going to play around with this animal? Of course not. So we can't play around with the devil, because he's described, what'd you say? Yeah, no. Yeah, that's one you don't want to pet, all right? He's described like a roaring lion. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5, and look at verse number 8. 1 Peter chapter 5, and let's see here, verse number 8. The Bible says, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. So there's something else. You always have to be on the alert. Why? Because you have an adversary, your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Good. So he's the father of lies. Here we see that he is our adversary. He's like a roaring lion. Any other terms that come to mind? Yes. So, yeah. He came in the form of a serpent, or used the serpent with Adam and Eve to deceive them from doing the will of God. I believe that language, turn over to Revelation chapter 12, and I believe we see that language also there. Look over in Revelation chapter 12, and you can write this passage down too. Revelation chapter 12, look at verse number 9. Revelation 12 and verse number 9. The Bible says, and the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old. So there it is, who was called the devil and Satan. So I just took another term, who deceives the whole world. And so these descriptions, the way that he is described, shows you what you're actually up against. Good. Anyone else? Yes. Fallen angel. Okay. I don't know if there's a text that uses that type of language. And there's a lot of things we could talk about that with respect to the devil being a fallen angel. But he certainly is a created being. He is not eternal. He's not like God. What else? Yes. Yes, yes. The prince of the power of the air. Where is that? You remember? Where is that text? Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 2. Good, write that down. Now, you mentioned the angel, a fallen angel. There's some debate about that. We could go back and forth, but I don't want to get into that right now. But Matthew 25 and verse number 46, we see that it says, I believe Jesus said that hell is prepared for the devil and his angels. And so we see something like that there in Matthew 25 and verse number 46. Any other terms that come to mind? Any other terms? I'm thinking of another one. It was when Jesus was in the, what'd you say? Yeah, look over in Matthew chapter 4. Look over in Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. And yeah, that's right. Matthew chapter 4, verses 2 and, let's start in verse number 1. Matthew 4 and verse number 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry. And the tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. And so lots of different terms that are used to describe the devil. So think about this for a moment. You see why this is so important, to understand how you can be victorious in this battle. Because we're playing against someone who is powerful, who is never going to stop, and who ultimately wants to destroy us. He wants to deceive you, and he wants to destroy you. And so that's something that I want you to really hold on to. Let me ask you a question here, and I want to get some feedback. Someone had mentioned that he is described as the father of all lies. What stories come to mind in the Bible where the devil deceives some individuals? There's some stories where we get some names where he deceives some people. Go ahead. Adam and Eve, yeah. From the beginning, we see that that's what he was doing. You got another case? Adam and Eve, anyone else? Look over in 1 Chronicles chapter 21. We see this idea of just the deception of the devil and how he's able to influence people in 1 Chronicles chapter 21. And again, we see his power, and we see that the devil can be very cunning, and he knows how to get his will done. In 1 Chronicles chapter 21, this is a story that maybe we don't talk about as much with King David. When we talk about King David, we often think about what David did with Bathsheba. But we see here that David was involved in this spiritual attack. 1 Chronicles chapter 21 and verse 1, it says, "Then Satan stood up against Israel and moved David to number Israel." That's an interesting study there, where David would give this would demand this census to be taken, and a lot of bad things would happen. Read that entire chapter, you'll be blown away, because it really pulls the curtain back of what's going on in this spiritual battle, okay? So that's what I want you to understand. Number one, that our real enemy, that the one you are ultimately fighting against, is the devil. That can be very easy to forget. The enemy that you always need to be concerned about is not necessarily your friend or your parents. You may feel like your parents may be the enemy, or the person at school or something like that. The true enemy that you need to be concerned about is the devil, okay? All right, let's look at the second thing I want you to see here. What type of battle are we in? And again, we've kind of touched on this, but what type of war are we in? This is important to understand, that we are in a spiritual battle for our souls. We're in a spiritual battle for our souls. What's at stake here? At the end of the day, let's just get to the point. What's at stake here? We talked about we're either on God's side or on the devil's side. What's at stake? It's not a trophy. It's not money. What ultimately is at stake here? What do you think? Where are you going to spend eternity? Your soul. You see, this is much more than just something that maybe some things are going on, or maybe some things aren't. This is a really big deal. There's been some big wars that have taken place across the centuries. The Civil War, that was a big war, and World War I and World War II. But think about this for a second. Our souls are at stake. And so, again, understanding, and we're laying the foundation down for today, understanding what is really at stake. This is not really playtime, because the devil is after you. The devil knew some people by name. There's some examples in the Bible where the devil, he knew people by name. Can you think of any examples where the devil, obviously he knew Adam and Eve. There's one big example that I'm thinking about in the Old Testament. He knew a man by name. What was his name? He knew Job. Look over in Job chapter 1. And I want you just to think about this for a second, because if the devil knew about Job, then what else, what does he know about you? You see, the devil knows you, and it doesn't matter how young you are, it doesn't matter how old you may be, the devil knows who you are. The devil knew Bert, and he went after Bert, and he was successful in defeating him, okay? Look in Job chapter 1. Job was a good man, and the Bible says in Job chapter 1 and verse number 6, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. The Lord said to Satan, 'From where do you come?' Then Satan answered, and the Lord and said, 'From roaming about on the earth and walking around on it.'" Now there's lots of things for us to talk about. Jeff, you've taught some classes on the book of Job, right? Yeah, there's lots of things for us to talk about here. Here's what I want you to see. "The Lord said to Satan, 'Have you considered my servant Job? For there's none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil.'" Now watch what Satan said. "Then Satan answered the Lord, 'Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge about him and his house and all that he has on every side? You've blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But put forth your hand now and touch all that he has. He will surely curse you to your face.'" He knew a lot of details about this man's life. He was going to go after this man, and God would allow him to do that. And so I want you to see here that this battle that you're in, this battle that I'm in, it's up close and personal. The devil knew about Job, he knows about you. There's another individual in the New Testament where we see the devil went after him, and he knew him by name. Anyone else know who I might be talking about here? Anyone else? It was one of the apostles in the New Testament. Peter. Who said Peter? Yes, Peter. Turn over to Luke chapter 22, I believe. Look over in Luke chapter 22. I have the right chapter here. Luke chapter 22, and I want you to look at verses 31 and 32. And I want you to see this because this battle that we're in, it's up close and personal. And the devil knows a lot. And he's the real enemy. And he knows everybody in this room right now. And he's going to come after you guys. And so this is what you need to make sure that you hold on to. Jesus would say this in Luke chapter 22, verses 31 and 32. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And you, when once you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. Jesus warned Peter about what was going to happen. And he told him exactly what was going to happen. And Peter said, Lord, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. Peter maybe didn't take the warning of Jesus as serious as he should have. And so what I want you to understand is make sure that you're taking this serious. Because this is a war that's going to have some serious ramifications. Your soul is at stake. Turn over to Matthew chapter 25. And I want you to notice something there in Matthew chapter 25. And I'm going to ask you to do something. In Matthew chapter 25, Matthew chapter 25. And just want you to see a couple of things here in Matthew chapter 25 about really with what's at stake here. Matthew 25 and verse 41, the Bible says, then he will also say to those on his left, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. Then in verse number 46, he said, these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. The conversation that we're having right now is not really a popular conversation. The devil, the spiritual battle, eternal fire, eternal life, heaven and hell. But this is what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches us that you're more than just flesh and blood. You have a part of you that's going to live on for eternity. And the devil is after you. Have you guys ever heard people, and maybe you guys have said it before, the Lord has a plan for me. Or the Lord has, you know, there's a will that the Lord has for me. You guys heard things like that? Do you know who else has a plan for you? Yeah, the devil has a plan for you. He has a will that he wants you to accomplish. Look over in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and I want you to write that passage down. There's a lot of verses here that really show us what's taking place here. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 26, this is something that a lot of people leave out. A lot of people aren't even talking about the devil. But you need to understand that we're in a battle against him, okay? And there's a lot at stake. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 26, the Bible says, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. And so make no mistake about it. The devil knows you. And he is after your soul. And he wants to be ruler of your life. He wants you to follow him. And he wants you to do his will. We got to make sure that we don't do that. We got to make sure that we remain with the Lord and that we remain with Jesus Christ. So let's talk a little bit about how is he going to go about attacking us? Where is this battle going to be taking place? Here's what I want you to do. I want you to spend about another minute or so. You can talk to the person next to you. And I want you to think about, where is the devil going to come after you? And how is he going to maybe try to attack you? We know that we're in a battle. We know that he's the enemy. So talk amongst yourselves for about a minute or so and write down as many examples about where this battle between the devil is going to take place. Because this battleground is going to take place in a lot of different areas. So write this down, and then we'll talk about that for a little bit, okay? Take about a minute or so and do that, and you can talk among yourselves. All right, let's talk a little bit. where might this battle, where might the devil try to attack you? What do you think? Through coworkers. Yeah. Anybody got a job? Who's working? Raise your hand up high. Anybody ever have any problems? Yeah, Ruben's working. Brent's working. Anybody ever have any problems at work? Yeah, coworker. I was talking to Sean, one of our students back at home in class on Wednesday night, and we're doing a study called Crucial Conversations, and he had gotten into a conversation with someone at work talking about marijuana. And there's a lot of different views out there, and you're going to have some conversations, some tough conversations. There's another young man, and he got into a conversation with someone at work talking about abortion. So you talk about some pretty big topics there. But yeah, at work, the devil, how might he try to attack you or come after you at work? You said the coworker. Give me a little bit more detail. What might that look like? What do you think? All right, maybe the invitation. Maybe there can be some peer pressure. You certainly want to fit in. You don't always want to be saying no to this person. After all, you got to work with them. And what's going to happen if you continue to say no? Anybody ever felt pressure like that? That's real. And if you think it's bad right now, wait until you get into the workforce. Brent said I worked with Pfizer Pharmaceuticals. It's a tough world out there when you really start working with people who have no interest in God, who really don't, you know, their morality is different. And so he's going to come after you in the workforce. What about this? There's something else with respect to work. What about cheating on the job? That happens a lot. What about people who, you know, say they work a certain amount of hours and they're not really doing that? Or people who are stealing from the company. There's actually a young man that I was working with, and he was stealing from the company. And you know what happened to him? He got caught. He got fired. Yeah, first he got caught, then he got fired. But the devil, he's going to come after you at work, for sure, with respect to honesty and your work ethic and how you handle yourself around other people. All right, give me another example. Where else might this battle take place? Ooh, raise your hand if you got a phone. Raise it up high. Who's got it? All right, who's been on their phone? All right, don't ask. Don't raise your hand. Okay. Yeah, where can you go with this phone? Anywhere. What can you see with this phone? Anything. We're going to talk about technology tomorrow. This is one of the most powerful devices ever. But it's one of the most dangerous devices, too. And this battle is taking place for a lot of people right here. There's a lot of young men who are struggling, who are being defeated by the devil right now with this thing right here, called the phone and pornography. Because all you got to do is go to a website. You can see whatever you want to see at any time. There's a lot of things that can happen on this phone. Gossip, right? Sexting. That's been in the news a lot. That's on the rise. There's a lot of things that can happen on this phone. Yeah, the devil is going to be used in technology. We're going to talk a lot more about that tomorrow. So at work, your cell phone, where else might the attack come from? School? Yeah, people at school. Peer pressure at school. Where else? Lust or desires. Yeah, I mean, we have certain desires and things like that, And the devil's going to try to get us to go outside of the boundaries that God has given us, right? The lust of the flesh and sexual purity. We need to talk about that more and more and what the Bible teaches about that. And so, yeah, the devil's going to try to attack us from that perspective. Where else might the battle take place? Let me get someone I haven't heard from. Okay, go ahead. Yeah, insecurities. Listen, the battle's going to be taking place right here, right? In our hearts. And how we view ourselves and making sure that we really confident of who we are in Jesus Christ. And, yeah, if the devil can cause you to have some doubt and things like that and cause you to compromise because maybe you are insecure and you just want to fit in and you're willing to do anything to fit in at any cost. Who's a senior and who's going to be going to college in a couple of months? All right. So the real test is getting ready to take place, all right? Who's going to be living in a dorm with someone they don't know their freshman year? Oh, boy. Yeah, that's going to be very unique. So you're going to be living with someone. You have no idea who these people are. You don't know what their standards are. You don't know what they believe. You're going to have some spiritual battles that are going to be taking place there. Any other places where the devil might try to attack us? What'd you say? World leaders, okay? Sure, world leaders. Hey, What are we supposed to do with our world leaders? There's something in 1 Timothy chapter 2 that there's respect, 1 Peter 2, verse 17, but there's something else that Paul said that we should be doing what for those who are in authority? Yeah, we should be praying. Yeah, we should be praying. Yeah, we're going to have some leaders sometimes, or a lot of times they're not going to be godly, but we still have a responsibility. So any other examples of where the devil might attack us that we haven't? Let me get the young man here. Money. How might the devil come after you with money? What'd you say? I didn't hear. What'd you say? Okay, greed. Yeah, greed can creep in. Absolutely. I've seen this a lot where people pray for a job. Lord, I really need a job. And you know what happens? They get a job. But then you know what happens after they get a job? You never see them again. They're not at Bible class. They're not at services. And they get the one thing that they wanted. But then they just kind of disappear. I have seen two things preaching 8 years that typically can happen that can be a downfall for Christians. Relationships. Did anybody write down boyfriend or girlfriend? All right, yeah, the devil's going to, he may come after you through your boyfriend or your girlfriend. Relationships and work. Those two things where people are so consumed, we're so consumed with stuff. I got to have more and more and more. Sunday morning, we're going to be talking about being thankful and how being thankful is a tactic for us to really overcome some of the snares of the devil. Here's what I want you to see, and here's the ultimate point. I appreciate you guys doing this. Here's what I want you to notice. The battle is going to take place everywhere. It's going to take place in this building sometimes, unfortunately, where the devil doesn't want Christians to be united. He wants there to be bickering and jealousy and envy. It's going to take place in your home. It's going to take place at work. It's going to take place at school. It's going to take place on the job. And so you have to be prepared and really recognize that no matter where you are, this battle is going to take place. Turn over to Revelation chapter 2. What's interesting, a lot of people turn to Revelation and they go to maybe chapter 12 or chapter 20 to look at the devil. But when Jesus was speaking to the seven churches in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, it's interesting because these Christians were in the midst of where Satan dwelled, the idea of his influence or power. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 8, the Bible says, "And to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, the first and the last who was dead and has come to life says this, I know your tribulation and your poverty, but you are rich, and the blasphemy by those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan." Think about that for a second. The idea of Satan having his own people, those who were ultimately doing his bidding, doing his will. "Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison, so that you will be tested, and you'll have tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." Now look at verse number 12. "And to the angel of the church in Pergamon write, the one who has a sharp two-edged sword says this, I know where you dwell, where Satan's throne is, and you hold fast my name and did not deny my faith, even in the days of Antipas, my witness, my faithful one who was killed among you, where Satan dwells." It was the idea of his influence. These Christians were in the midst of where Satan dwelt and the influence that he had during that time, and yet they remained faithful to God. And that's the last thing that I want you to see here. When we talk about this battle, you need to know that the true enemy is the devil, that this is a spiritual conflict, that this battle is going to take place everywhere, and if we're going to be successful, then we're going to have to put on the armor of God. Turn back to Ephesians chapter 6, and I want you to notice a couple of things here as we begin to wrap up. In Ephesians chapter 6, one of the things that I really want to impress upon you this weekend, we can talk a lot about the devil, we can talk a lot about the spiritual battle that we're in, but you really have to know and believe that our victory is found in Jesus and that we are already victorious because of what Jesus has done for us on the cross and through the resurrection. I want you to notice and I want you to count how many times Paul uses the phrase "stand firm" in Ephesians chapter 6. If you're going to be successful in this battle, you get to decide. Because Jesus has given us all the things that we need so that we can be victorious, so you can be victorious. But there's going to be some things you need to do. Look at verse number 10. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. put on the full armor of God so that you'll be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you'll be able to resist in the evil day and having done everything to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to that, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. How many times did you guys see the phrase stand firm? Who counted? How many times did you see it? Anyone? I got two. Anyone else? What'd you say? A lot. All right. So he used the word, look at verse 10. Be strong. That's a little bit different. Look at verse 11. He said, stand firm. Look at verse 13. Take up the full armor of God so that you'll be able to resist in the evil day and having done everything to stand firm. Stand firm. Verse number 14. Three times. You see what Paul is saying here. You can be successful. You're in this battle. This battle is going to be up close and personal. The devil knows you by name. He says that we wrestle, that we struggle. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. And so this battle is up close and personal. The devil has his own schemes and his own game plan for each of us. But Paul is making it clear to the saints here and to us that we're going to have to stand firm and that we're going to have to put on the full armor of God, which means that in this battle, you're going to have to fight. You're going to have to resist. What does the Bible say? If we resist the devil, he'll do what? Anyone know? He will flee. So it shows us that the devil's not all powerful, that the devil is ultimately already defeated in Jesus Christ. And so you can be victorious. Listen, there's a war that's taken place. Tomorrow we're going to talk about homosexuality. There are so many things that are out there where people now, if you don't believe that to be true, you're basically a bigot. You're a homophobe. You just hate people almost to some degree. There's a war that's taking place out there. Technology, there's a battle. There are people who are being, young people that are being destroyed because of the things that they're doing on their cell phones. And so what Paul is trying to get you to see, you can be victorious. Just because it appears that the devil has deceived everyone. Atheism is on the rise. Look what happened to Bert. And I hope it doesn't happen here. But how many kids do we have here? What, 50 maybe? There's a good chance that some of you may not be with the Lord in a few years. I hope that doesn't happen. It doesn't have to happen if you fully trust in God. See, that's why Paul is trying to get you to see. You got to put on the full armor of God. When you read that, or when I read that, did you notice that the armor of God is connected to what? Every piece of that armor is connected to what? Anybody pick up on that? It's connected to the Word of God. Did you guys see that? You put on the shield of faith, the breastplate of righteousness, helmet of salvation, which means that you're going to have to pick up your Bible. You're going to have to use your sword, and you're going to have to know what God says here. One of the things I really want to impress upon you is you're going to have your own faith. You're going to have your own shield. Who has grown up in a local Church of Christ? Who's grown up for the most part? Good. So did I. That's good. Listen, there's nothing wrong with that at all. But I want to encourage you. You have to have your own shield of faith. You understand what I'm saying? That if you're gonna ultimately make it to heaven one day, you got to have your own faith. And while mom and dad can help you, and that's great, and your siblings and your family members can help you, and brothers and sisters in Christ, you have to have your own shield of faith. I think about King David in the Old Testament when he went to go fight Goliath. He didn't have any armor, and he tried to put on Saul's armor, and he said, "Look, this doesn't fit me. It's not mine." And while the story may be a little bit different, I think there's something there. You have to have your own shield of faith. And so you got to know God. You got to know Jesus. You got to know his word. That's how you're going to be victorious. You got to know that the victory is already yours in Jesus Christ. In 1 John chapter 3, and let's wrap up here. 1 John chapter 3, and let's see here. Look at verse number 8. 1 John chapter 3, and I want you to notice, I believe it's verse number 8. 1 John chapter 3. And this is just something good for us to hold on to because we can be successful. You can be successful. We're going to talk about a lot of these things tomorrow and then on Sunday. But I want you to really understand this, that you can be successful in this battle. 1 John chapter 3, verse 7, little children, make sure no one deceives you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. Look at verse 8. The one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. We're in this spiritual conflict that's been around since the beginning. But our victory, your victory, is found in Jesus Christ. So you don't have to bow down to the things of the world. You don't have to do what so many people are doing, whether it's lying or cheating or being disrespectful or using things to for the purpose of sin instead of giving glory to God. You can be victorious, but you're going to have to stand firm. You're going to have to resist the devil. He is never going to stop. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness for 40 days, he responded with, "It is written." He responded with the word of God. And that's how you're going to have to respond. Now, the devil went away, but then it said in Luke chapter 4 and verse 13 that he came back at a more convenient season. So the devil is never going to stop in this battle, which means you're always going to have to continue to fight. Does that make sense? You got to make sure that you keep your armor on every day, wherever you may be. So I hope and pray this will help you. This is really a nice foundation. Tomorrow we're going to have the breakout sessions and really talk more about the front lines. And I hope and pray you guys can come back here tomorrow, be here Sunday. We're going to talk about being bold and courageous. And then we'll talk about a couple more things during our Sunday morning sermon and Sunday night sermon. So I appreciate your attention. Thank you for your participation. And I look forward to seeing you guys tomorrow.